Forecast for today, a mixture of clouds and sun, chance for some showers. We'll have a high around 68. Forecast details are on the way. The Zoning Board of Appeals in Mount Pleasant unanimously determined that Ron's Custom Cabinets on Giddings Road is a legal operation, a lawful nonconforming use, countering the complaint of village resident Kelly Gallagher, plus the board nullified a variance in recognizing the business was there before zoning laws took effect. The zoning board back in 1992 included a year 2005 date for owner Ron Primeth to stop his operations. Defense attorney John Belogic, during his questioning of his client, tried to prove the business was indeed legal.
2005 came and went.
Correct.
You continued your business.
That's correct.
During 2005, did it ever dawn on you that there was a variance requirement to you to stop your business on January 14 of 2005?
No.
Was it ever in your mind?
No.
Business continues today just as you've always run the business, correct?
Correct.
Nobody spoke in support of the complaint and the desire to shut down the business. Primeth, meanwhile, got verbal support from mainly his neighbors.
Ron has operated a business professionally, has employed people over many years, has been an asset to the village of Mount Pleasant, and I hope you can see that he should continue to operate.
If Ron is to be looked at for working out of his house, then everybody else that works out of theirs should be looked at as well. And that's only to be fair.
Attorney Chris Geary for the village acknowledged the defense argument was about the property, not Ron Primeth or whoever would come along to own it.
The effect of finding that it's a lawful nonconforming use means that it predates the zoning code, which means that it's basically exempt from the zoning code. So within the confines of the existing use, it could be operated, it could be expanded.
The unanimous vote finding Ron's Custom Cabinets a lawful business, bringing applause from the room full of citizens, many offering their congratulations to Primeth afterward. A murder suspect from Waukegan taken into custody at a motel on the far southeast side of Racine, a woman staying with the man in the room also arrested on drug-related charges. WRJN's Janet Hoff with details.
The Metro Drug Unit received information that 49-year-old Farid Rakin was hiding in a room at a Durand Avenue motel. Rakin is a suspect in the death of 24-year-old Sierra Davis, who was murdered outside a Waukegan house party in June. Initially, 24-year-old Nicole Mays of Kenosha was charged. However, those charges were dropped when Waukegan police said they had new information. Mays, who was arrested with Rakin at the motel, is now facing 7 drug-related charges in Racine County, including possession with intent to deliver heroin and cocaine, possession of marijuana and a controlled substance, and maintaining a drug trafficking place. She appeared in court Wednesday afternoon and will return on August 30th for a preliminary hearing. Rakin is currently being held without bond in the Racine County Jail. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
It was first delayed over concerns about a lack of information regarding constitutional rights, but the Kenosha Unified School Board this week approved a program called Building Lifelong Trust. It'll be taught this fall at Bradford High School by police officers. The board sending the program back for revisions in January. Those have now been added to the program. Board member Dan Way, the former police chief, said, in addition to offering students information, it's a learning experience for the officers. Board member Mike Volkowski says this is going to help demystify law enforcement.
Students, we'll give the students more of a chance or a better understanding of what happens when you talk to a police officer. Even if you're guilty of something, just, you know, how, what your rights are, what you can do. And I like the fact that they even talked about searches and letting people, you know, search your car and your rights with searching your home.
Board member Gary Kunick called the program a great opportunity.
Especially in today's climate right now. And so to have the police reaching back to the community and these students, I think is absolutely critical.
This will involve up to a dozen students meeting with police officers during non-instructional time once a week for 7 weeks. Parents will have the chance to review the lessons, and they must give permission for their child to attend. And the best four-year college in the state of Wisconsin in a recent analysis by the website schools.com is UW-Green Bay. Parkside list toward the bottom of the pack. Schools.com gathered data from the U.S. Department of Education and made comparisons with more than 1,600 schools based on affordability, flexibility, and about a dozen other quantitative factors. Following UW-Green Bay, the best UW campuses in the state are Madison, La Crosse, Stout, Whitewater, Stevens Point, Eau Claire, Parkside, Oshkosh, and Plantville. The complete methodology online, www.schools.com/online-colleges/Wisconsin. Kenosha Regional Airport getting a high-profile tenant, longtime Abbott Corporation Chairman and CEO Miles White. He appeared before the Airport Commission yesterday, seeking a lease for a hangar he'd like to build to house his personal jet. White proposing to build on a site not yet served by a ramp, which is no problem, since he's offering to put one in and then donate it back to the city in exchange for considerations to be named later. The ramp itself expected to cost upwards of $500,000. The hangar would be big enough for two aircraft, White apparently seeking to rent out part of the space to offset the building's cost. Says his planned purchase of a Gulfstream jet should not be viewed, though, as a sign he's planning to retire anytime soon. Abbott's corporate aircraft, by the way, currently hangared at the Waukegan Airport. By the way, making a first public appearance since being charged last week with stalking an ex-girlfriend, Alderman G. John Ruffalo, a member of the Airport Commission, but who offered no comment. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave, he said he wanted public comment on the plans for Pritchard Park, including the S.C. Johnson gift to build an aquatic center. He got quite a few neighbors respectfully raising some concerns about traffic, parking, noise, lights, cost, even the speed at which this has all come about. Delagrave talking with the group at the Wazoric Pavilion with staffers on hand, taking notes.
I will make a commitment to you that maybe what we'll do is either in the late fall or early spring we can come back together. Our staff hopefully will have your names before you leave, and we'll do this again, and hopefully I'll hear compliments but concerns as well, and we'll go from there. I think that's a great idea. We would like to have this open for next summer.
County Board Supervisor QA Shakur there. He's also a city alderman. He liked the back and forth discussion.
I cannot say enough about the citizens, how respectful they were, and they were real thought out their opinions and concerns.
Delagrave later discussing with about six area residents some of the issues they'd pressed him on earlier. They wanted to talk about different aspects of the project.
With the swimming, I think it should be used more year-round than just the 3 months.
Because I know theme parks, when they run, weather makes it or breaks it for them.
Absolutely.
And so if that's your only way, you're setting yourself up for
failure.
For failure, yeah.
But
yeah.
I do like a water park idea better than hockey. It's a
Totally.
This is what I would encourage everybody here, is that if you have concerns, we're coming back either in the late fall or early spring to continue to have a dialogue.
Plans to upgrade the park itself between Durand Avenue North to 21st Street and Roosevelt Avenue East to Ohio Street include some additional access points, trails, berms, even thinning out the woods on the south end. Jobless numbers out from the State Department of Workforce Development for the month of July showing Racine at 5.4% versus 5.2% in June, compared to 7.2% a year ago. Kenosha, 4.2% last month, 4.5% in June. In Oak Creek, it was 3.2%, 3.6% in June. Mount Pleasant last month, 3.9%, 3.5% in Caledonia. Racine County at 4.2%, equal to what took place in June. And Kenosha County at 4%, about the same as the month earlier. Racine resident Jeffrey Pitt Jr., accused in the July death of his 3-year-old son, bound over for trial by Court Commissioner Alice Rudebush. She found probable cause on felony charges that include first-degree reckless homicide. The 30-year-old Pitt telling police he came home after a night of heavy drinking, passed out with a loaded gun in his waistband and two of his young children nearby. It's believed Jeremiah Pitt got hold of the weapon and shot himself in the chest. In a related case, Laquan Russell, accused of hiding the gun that caused the baby's death at the request of Pitt, he's going to be back in court September the 8th, obstructing an officer and harboring a felon by falsifying information. And the body of a missing kayaker from Salem Lakes in Kenosha County, found by the Door County Sheriff's Department's dive team, about 100 yards from Horseshoe Island off Peninsula State Park. 20-year-old Joseph Quagliano, not wearing a personal flotation device when he disappeared last Saturday night. Family said he had taken his kayak to the boat launch at Nicolet Bay with plans to paddle to Horseshoe Island. The Door County Sheriff's Patrol boat, along with the Sturgeon Bay Police boat, were actually transporting the dive team to the location where the kayak was initially found, and that is when the body was located. Autopsy results could be delayed, though, by toxicology results. Kenosha police dispatched about 3:15 this morning to an armed robbery report at the BP gas station along Highway 50 at the interstate. The store clerk advised that a white male suspect came in with his hand under his shirt by his waist, implying that he had a gun. Lieutenant Tim Shaw tells WRJN News the man then stated, "I'm really sorry, ma'am. I gotta feed my kids." The clerk gave up close to $400 from the register and a carton of cigarettes. The suspect then left in an unknown direction. The investigation led to a search of the area's hotels, but officers found nothing. Surveillance video and DNA among the evidence collected. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce launching a new statewide coalition involving 146 business groups, local chambers of commerce, entrepreneurs, employers, and workers, all in support of Foxconn's multi-billion-dollar investment in Wisconsin. Included in the group, the Racine Area Manufacturers and Commerce, Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce, Lehman USA, the City of Oak Creek, Modine Manufacturing, Aurora Healthcare, and both the Union Grove and Burlington Area Chambers of Commerce. The group created to inform the public and policymakers about the transformational impact that Foxconn will have not only on Southeast Wisconsin, but the entire state. Full list of coalition partners online at foxconfacts.com. The one-time Holy Name and later St. Richard's School at 1510 Villa Street in Racine back to an educational setting after a gap of a few years with the Lumen Renaissance School. Lumen standing for Lutheran Urban Mission Initiative, and with it comes the need for the return of school signage in the vehicle restriction area regarding the building itself. The request to the City Traffic Commission, with City Engineer John Rooney saying, no problem even amending the times on the signs. When informed there won't be any busing, Rooney said those signs can be accommodating to parents who will be dropping off their kids just as long as the adults stay in the vehicle.
There are several signs that we have. We work with PD. They all kind of fall under the umbrella of those school restrictions.
Yes.
And there are some that we put out there so you can drop off, but you can't park. That means you can't leave a vehicle unattended. Generally, technically, that means you can't leave the vehicle to walk Johnny or Sally into school either. I mean, technically, once you leave a vehicle unattended, it's considered parked.
The signs can be installed once the Traffic Commission's recommendation gets approved at the September 5th City Council meeting. Hotel rooms in Kenosha are going to have windows under an ordinance revision approved by the council. The issue coming up during discussion about a proposed hotel on the second floor of the Chase Bank building. Members of the City Plan Commission noting at the time several of the rooms would not have had windows based on plans presented by the developer. Mayor John Antaramian, in fact, pointing out there's nothing in state law to require windows. The fire chief, Charles Leipzig, said this is a matter of public safety. Community Development Director Jeff LeBon took note that the residential properties in Kenosha are already required to have windows in bedrooms.
Through local ordinance and state ordinance, required windows at various locations within the residence with respect to, it deals with, you know, access, with ventilation, with light. So those issues are already addressed at the residential level.
That ordinance adopted by the Kenosha Council unanimously. This afternoon, the Kenosha City Plan Commission has a 5 o'clock meeting at the municipal building. Among the items on the page-and-a-half-long agenda, 3 resolutions each by Mayor Antaramian to create 3 new tax incremental districts and adopt project plans for all 3. And there's a conditional use permit for a 10-unit rooming and boarding house at 6027 18th Avenue. And some might wonder what's in the water in the western Racine County village of Waterford, given the number of public officials who've up and quit. Their latest is the administrator there, Rebecca Ewald. She's taking the village manager job in Shorewood. The official website there still listing M. Chris Swans as the manager, but with no information. Journal Times had Ewald's pursuit of the job in Shorewood being connected to family considerations. She'd been in Waterford for 11 years. Ewald leaving follows Village President Jim Schneider's health-related resignation this month and a couple of trustee positions that opened up earlier. One belonged to Schneider, that the subject of a November 7th special election, the other filled recently by Troy McReynolds. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.